This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Community Season 3, Episode 5. Horror fiction in 7 spooky steps. I am Josh Wiggler, and I am joined here by my co-host on community building, who may or may not be a psychopath, Jess Sterling. Jess,
I was going to introduce myself as a cool ranch lunatic, so I'm glad that we're on the same page here.
No, our cool ranch co-host this week, special guest for community building's triumphant return after a month-long hiatus. We are thrilled to be joined by somebody who has, I am sure, encountered many a spooky story in his time, certainly a weird tale or two. He is somebody who is much beloved in the Post Show Recaps patron community. He is one of the members of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend podcast. One extraordinary podcast? How did I get it right? Did someone
one
help?
Indescribable.
One indescribable, yes. But it's an extraordinary podcast all the same as the extraordinary Todd the Librarian joins us. Todd.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm here as the resident PSR horror consultant when Kevin and LaTanya aren't around.
Yes.
So I'm happy to step in.
We have a deep bench. I mean, like, if like horror experts are to podcasting as pitchers are to a baseball team, we have like a very deep bench of pitchers, horror pitchers. Did that metaphor line up? Sometimes I do sports right, Jess.
I don't think you know who you're talking to right now. I don't think you know your audience.
No. Well, in my defense, it's been a month since last we congregated with the study group to discuss community. We took the month of May off. We back, baby, as season 3 coverage of Community continues here with lots of really fun plans for the weeks ahead, including this episode. Todd, I'm thrilled to have you here for what I assume was once upon a time a Halloween-ish episode of Community, if not an outright Halloween episode.
I believe so. It's hard to remember that far back, but
yeah, it aired on October 27th. So it's
October 27th, 2011. This is for sure a Halloween episode of Community, and I'm very excited to get into it. By the end of this podcast, will the three of us be conjoined in ability to communicate with each other via telepathy?
One can only hope.
Yeah. That's that definitely
very difficult considering where Todd lives for all of us to be conjoined.
Yeah. That would be like, that would look like very elastic skin that's connecting us. To get us from, like, Jess, it would still be, like, pretty elastic to get from, like, your place in New York to mine.
Yeah.
But to get to Todd, where you're at, this is, like, not really, a lot of people would have, there would be, like, just, like, a thin line of flesh that is, people are like, how do I get around that?
Yeah, speaking of horror stories.
I would say, we're getting the body horror aspect out of the way pretty early, which I appreciate.
Yes. Did you miss us out there in community building land? It's the shenanigans, the chicanery that you come here for, of course. Perhaps you also come here for the community of Post Show Recaps and being a patron of Post Show Recaps. We do episodes of community building live for the patrons of Post Show Recaps on video. We stream this live as we go, as we record the show. So we are always psyched to have our friends in the chat alongside us for the ride. We also release episodes of the podcast a day or two early in the Post Show Recaps patron podcast feed. And in addition to that, if that's not enough incentive to get you to sign up for the Post Show Recaps patron program, remember how we said that there are community building sweatshirts that you could get if you sign up at the $15 level or higher through the end of June 2022? Guess what? It's June 2022. It's the final month that you can get in line for that community building sweatshirt. So if you want a community building sweatshirt, now is the month to sign up at the $15 level or higher. And how about this? Well, I'm still just in salesperson mode. At the $15 level and higher, you also get access to PSR Plus. That's right. It's PSR Plus. We are the latest people to sell out with a plus sign. And with PSR Plus, I think you get something that's very, very useful if you're a big post-show recaps fan. You get commercial-free podcasts. The ad breaks. You just hear a swoosh and then another swoosh, and then the podcast continues. You know all those ads that you get? Well, we need to serve them so that we can keep the lights on here on the podcast and keep making the funny funnies, but you don't have to listen to any of them if you are a patron at the $15 level and higher. When you get access to PSR Plus, it's a private podcast feed that we will serve up to you at the $15 level and higher. This is how I've been listening to the Potion Recaps podcast for the last little while. It's been a delight. I've been having a great time. So if that sounds exciting to you, if you are not just a community building person, but you listen to a ton of post-show recaps, this is the way to do it. You get every single post-show recaps podcast in a single handy feed with no commercial interruptions other than like a live read if we get one of those down the line. But if we do our jobs right, those will be fun. And you wouldn't want to skip those anyway. So if you want to get in on any of that, it's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It's the start of the month, which is why I'm selling you hard on it now. We'll bring up the sweatshirt throughout the month because we don't want you to forget if that's something that you're interested in. But this will be like the really hard sell here for the month of June. Very early on, we certainly appreciate your patronage if you are able to support patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Jess, that sweatshirt, very comfortable. I know you are a big fan.
I am. I wear it all the time. I mean, it's starting to get into the warmer months, so not as much recently unless the AC's cranked a little bit too high, but it's my favorite sweatshirt. I wear it too much.
Another patron incentive, Todd, I'm sure that people would be excited about, is that people are going to be able to join the Post Show Recaps patron program. They can go into the Discord. They can meet all of the patrons of Post Show Recaps. And if they want to hear a scary story or two, all they have to do is log into one of our many voice channels. And I'm sure somebody has something memorable to say.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Did I just scare them off? I think I probably did.
So you're like, so you're going to go into a voice channel and someone immediately is going to tell you something scary.
Yeah, selling past the clothes, I think, is what we call that.
And not only that, they'll tell you something scary in the month of June.
Yeah.
Not October.
Yeah. June. Well, that's why it's like a really effective Halloween surprise, because it is happening so many months after the fact.
Yeah, or before the fact, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how you view time. It's a good point. It's a good point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, patreon.com/postshowrecaps for all of that. That's the sales pitch. Let's talk about community. Todd, coming on to this podcast, in addition to being third in line for the Post Show Recaps horror movie throne, give me your takes on this one and community taking a turn for the horror this week, as we are heading into, it's not actually spooky season, but we are pretending that it is.
I really enjoy this episode. It's probably like my least favorite of the three Halloween episodes, possibly, but it's still a really fun time. I love the fact that they dip into a whole bunch of different horror genres and horror tropes, and some of them are a little bit more successful than others, I think. But no, I think it's like it was a really fun diversion for the show.
Yeah. Jess, is this the your least favorite Halloween episode of Community, would you say?
It's between this and season four's, but it's my least favorite so far of the ones we've seen. It's my least favorite.
Got it.
I wasn't even thinking about season four. I was thinking like, up till now.
We're trying to forget that it exists. Right?
Yeah, we often do. Yeah. I think this one is fine. Like I said, I think that it is fun. Like it's very much like a bodily type of episode. It's just the group, right? We're not seeing any outsiders this episode. And I like the actual like conceit of the episode. I like the idea of the episode. I think for me, it's where like it's a certain number of executions that aren't my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, your mileage may vary on whose dreams or whose scenarios you prefer. I think at the end of this, we should rank the dreams as to whose we prefer, or I should say the stories, the spooky stories. But it's a serviceable episode, I would say, of Community.
All right, hot take. I love this episode, and I feel like it is, for me, in my strike zone, a perfect episode of Community. I thought that this was tremendously great. I loved everything about it. It's obviously horrible on a bunch of levels at certain points in time, but yeah, it's so specific and exactly precise to who those characters are, as far as I'm concerned. I feel like it is a very, very character-centric episode, and you're getting to see all of the actors effectively play all of the different characters, too, because they're enacting everybody's version of a horror story. So in, like, Britta's story, Jeff is basically playing a very boring version of how Britta would pitch a horror story. So yeah, he's not even really, like, Joel McHale isn't even playing Jeff anymore in that moment. Or in Pierce's horrible, scary story, Donald Glover isn't playing Troy. He's playing, like, Pierce's Troy in his scary story nightmare. And I think, like, it is right down the lane of who each and every one of these people actually are. I laughed so hard watching this one today. And probably a big part of it is that I haven't watched an episode of Community since, I guess, April now. If Lost meets you where you are, so does Community. And today, Community met me right in my funny bone, and I loved it. This was one of my favorite episodes that I've seen of Community.
I think a lot of it probably is the break. I think and I'm not saying, like, it's not worthy of your love or enjoyment. I think it's a perfectly good episode of Community, but I think the fact that I've seen it before, and I've seen, I've seen tons of other episodes of Community that I prefer over this episode, but I could totally see how someone would love this episode, right? It has, like, a fun shtick. Of course I die laughing every time it's like Britta and Jeff, but Britta is the one, like, saying how this story is gonna go, and he's like, okay, but when I get back, we're gonna have sex because I'm a man,
right?
Like, it's all yes, ridiculous lines.
Yes, I mean, this is just like who everybody is according to each other, and I think like that probably goes a long way towards my enjoyment of it. But I think, like, another piece of it for me is sort of this, you know, I'm experiencing these episodes for the very first time. I don't have the nostalgia for this. I don't have, like, the context of what comes next or anything like that. And so for me, this is, you know, my first encounter with these episodes. You know, obviously Remedial Chaos Theory, which we spoke about last, is an elite episode of the show, but it was also, like, supremely built up, and I had seen it before as well. So I feel like watching this one, or an episode like this, maybe for me watching Community, you know, 10 plus years after it aired, like, more of a special event, because I have no advance notice. I have no warning, Todd, that there's going to be a what's the Simpsons Treehouse of Terrors? Didn't somebody reference that, I think, in the post recap patron Discord?
Yeah, I think it's Treehouse of Horror, but yeah, very much like the whole anthology idea, which is a huge horror film thing, like the horror anthology films. This is what they call, like, a portmanteau horror film style, where you have, like, the framing device with all these little stories happening throughout it.
Credit where it's due. That was Jank who called that, and I fully agree with Jank's take that it feels very Simpson-y in that way. And I just had so much fun with it. So I look forward to talking it all through, which we will do here on the podcast just as soon as we finish one of those aforementioned commercial breaks. Stay tuned. And we're back. And if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps, you get no commercial break. If you are a patron at the $15 level and higher, you get no commercial break on this one or any of the other Post Show Recaps podcasts. How great is that?
You get the whoosh.
You get the whoosh.
I said on a previous podcast I was on, I posited whether or not I should just whoosh myself and just see how people thought. People
don't do that.
Yeah.
Executive decision, don't do it. If you want to get it out of your system right now, you can do
one. Isn't that fun? It's a fun to do, though.
All right, do it.
Whoosh.
Yeah, don't do it again, though. Wait, you have to do it one more time, because otherwise we're in the
ad.
We're
in the ad. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whoosh.
Okay, and we're back. Todd, do you want to throw out a commercial real quick, or?
Sure. I think mine's going to be a little bit whoosh.
Okay, now we're stuck in the Todd's commercial. And Todd, what's your commercial for?
Oh, Now, my commercial is for Jess's soundtrack of the PSR theme song, which I got to hear in person recently, which is a really bad, but entertainingly so.
Wait, Jess, you do an impression of the Poster Recaps theme song?
The problem is, what I was doing, when you edit as many podcasts as I do, you hear the PSR theme song
a lot. Yeah.
And it's an earworm. It gets in your head. Mm-hmm. And the way I sing it was like very weird, and it wasn't right. Like,
you throw some Bowchicka Wow Wow type things.
There's
in
a lot
there.
Of like Bowchicka Wow Wows happening.
Let's hear it real quick.
It was like a Bowchicka 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 Bowchicka.
It's pretty good. I totally get it. Yeah, yeah,
it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Wow. Yeah, that's like sort of like the big blast that you get. Yeah, I know it. I know the whole thing.
Yeah, see, it works.
It's been living rent free in my head since 2014. So. Forever. I get it. All right. We're still in Todd's commercial, so you're going to have to whoosh us back.
Yeah.
All right. Whoosh.
All right. And we're back. And now we can talk about, unless I want, no, I'm not going to do it. All right. Let's do horror fiction in 7 spooky steps, Jess.
Yes. So we start off, it's Halloween. We're in the study room. They're having like a mini pre-Halloween party, but it just looks horrible. Like, Britta has like 4 snacks. And Shirley looks really upset about it.
Yeah.
They're just like taco shells.
Who wants taco shells? Where's the taco?
Maybe I'm a psychopath, but like I would have been, I would have just like started like taking pieces off the taco shell, just eating them.
I don't want to buy taco shell.
No, you just treat them like chips, no?
But they don't have like seasoning.
Do they have any salt anywhere nearby?
I didn't see any.
So now I'm going to identify myself further as a psychopath, Todd. I think I'd still eat them.
Yeah, well, there's no accounting for
because it's just dry and, kind
it'd just
of inoffensive.
Be like cardboard.
It's just sort of dry and inoffensive. And if I was hungry, I would just eat it. And then, like, my stomach wouldn't be empty anymore.
I feel like I'd be the Shirley who was just judging what was going on.
Sure. Yeah.
that sounds about right.
Yeah, so Pierce doesn't understand why they're having this party before the other party, and Britta says it's a pre-party.
Yeah,
and so Troy and Abed are there, and of course they're dressed like Inspector Space Time. And Britta says you didn't have to dress up, but they were wearing this before she even called.
And is that because, Todd, do we think that this is just how they normally dress, or do we think it's because they were already like geared up and ready to go to the next Halloween shindig?
It's how they normally dress.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
100%. It's 1,000%. They play this a lot.
Yeah, it's the thousands that they're playing Inspector Space Time and Constable Reggie. That's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Annie is upset because Britta doesn't have enough music selection here. She has the Beetlejuice soundtrack, which this is the third time Beetlejuice is said. We see him walking in the background. This is a whole bit. I think we've talked about this before.
All right. Well, you've currently said it twice. Please don't say it a third time.
No. I used to be terrified of that guy.
Yeah. Good
job. It's a 3-season long bit. Like, they say it once in season 1, once in season 2, and this is the payoff where you see the unnameable one walking briefly behind Annie.
Todd, you can say it because you haven't said it yet. So if you want to burn a Beetlejuice.
Was that how it works?
And I just did one.
Yeah. So Beetlejuice. Yeah.
Okay, so you and I've both burned one. Feels Jess good. Can't say it a third time,
no,
or he shows up. Todd and I can't say it 2 more times where he shows up. I had no idea that that was a thing, that Beetlejuice had appeared previously in 2 episodes of
they just say it. He only appears this episode.
Right, but I mean that the name appears, and then he shows up here. That's genius.
That's
another
amazing
reason. I didn't even know that was a reason I
now
loved this episode, and now I do.
Yeah, I think Josiah posted a little compilation video in the
Discord.
Discord.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, they have a little clip that shows like all 3 situations, and then you can kind of see him walking past the window in the study room. Yeah. And so all she has is that soundtrack and NPR interviews, and British just like, oh, just wait until you hear this one. It's like such a typical. And I think it's the Beatles too, maybe, or she had something, one other thing on there too.
I want to believe that she has pulled NPR interviews from Fresh Air with Terry Gross, thinking that it would be something spooky for Halloween. Not realizing
like
that
Britta.
Terry Gross isn't like some kind of Halloween name and is actually just the name of a prolific radio show host.
Yeah. Well, she even says what it's just like, it's Michelle Norris interviewing Errol Morris. And don't worry, they address it.
She's like, too excited about this. Jeff shows up. He says, listen, I have three more polite appearances I have to make today. He says he's dressed as a guy from Fast and Furious, but he like has no idea who.
Yeah, like, I don't watch those. I didn't either, actually.
I don't watch those either. They're car movies. I don't watch car movies.
I know. It's not your genre.
No.
No.
And so Britta like pulls him aside, pulls Jeff aside. She's like, do you remember those psych evals? I got the results back. One of our group is deeply disturbed. And this is when the lights flicker and suddenly the dean is there. Classic dean. Trick or Dean. Yeah.
He's not yet the devil though. Satanic Dean is Devil Dean is the best.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's fine. The scare-tacular dance is going to be in the cafeteria. And he says he had the lights rigged to flicker cuz it's Halloween. And Jess is like, "They've been flickering all week."
Yeah. Is Halloween, Todd, one of those seasons like Christmas where it's just like it's longer than the day? It's not as long as Christmas cuz Christmas I believe is 3 years long. It's 3 years within a single calendar year, which is impressive.
Yeah. For me, it is like October is Halloween month for me, basically. Like I watch absolutely nothing other than horror movies, if I can help it, for pretty much all of October. So for me, it very much is All Saints Day month, as the dean tries to play it off whenever Jeff asks if the lights will be working the next day.
Yes. So they're trying to figure out what's going on with this this personality, these psych evals that Britta had issued to everybody. And one of the tests had 75 red flags for an extreme personality disorder, which they think sounds like a flavor of Dorito.
Yes.
Like extreme, like a cool ranch lunatic.
Sociopathic Dorito.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Only instead of zest, one member of our study group has homicidal tendencies. And Jeff thinks that probably that's not true. And instead, Britta just Britta'd the test results, at which point Britta becomes aware of the fact that people have using her name to mean, quote unquote, a small mistake. Is that what people are using her name for, Todd? A small mistake? Is that what it is to Britta?
I kind of get the sense, no, the way that Jeff actually admits to, yes, that's what we use. His reaction there is very much like, oh yeah, small mistake. That's right. That is exactly what Britta-ing something means.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the introduction of Britta-ing something. Like, it is so funny. I love the joke. The running gag of it throughout this episode alone is very funny. And I think it comes kind of at the perfect time for Britta as a character.
I haven't gotten this before, right? I mean, like, I've gotten this, like, metatextually. Like, I understand people talk about, like, Britta-ing
something.
This is
the first time it's happened. Intro. Yeah.
Historic.
Yeah. And then Troy's like, I want to go to the dance. I heard the dean's got free taco meat from the army.
Wow.
Definitely a callback.
They need to put that in with the taco shells.
It would have been better than just plain taco shells.
But wouldn't that have then turned everyone into zombies?
Yeah, it still would have been more exciting than bland taco shells.
You would rather eat taco meat that turns into a zombie than eat like a dry taco shell?
I mean, I think I'd rather witness, you know, people turning into zombies than witness people eating dry taco shells.
I think that's insane.
Well, witnessing people eating dry taco shells definitely is not something that's really so high on my list.
But Josh
is talking more about actually eating the tacos.
Well, now I think you're both lunatics, to be totally honest with you, because you're saying you would rather watch people become zombies than watch them eat bland food. Give me watching them eat bland food every day so that I'm not under threat of being eaten by a zombie.
Maybe I would stand like outside of the study room and watch. Uh-huh. You know, with the doors safely closed.
So you failed the psych eval because you just locked a bunch of people in a room knowing that they were about to turn into zombies for your pleasure, for your delight.
Yeah, that's at least 70 red flags right there, Jess.
He has a lot of red flags.
At least.
So Britta pulls everyone aside and she says, listen, we're going to tell scary stories. It'll be so much fun. And so she says, once upon a time, there was a couple in a car in the woods making out or something. And so then we flash immediately to Jeff and Britta, who are making out. They hear a news story on the radio. In the news tonight, top story, an escaped convict from the asylum has escaped and he's mental and he's on the loose and stuff.
See, this is great. Like, this is just like, it's just obviously like it's sort of like all of the dialogue, you could just imagine all of the characters fully reading every single line of their own individual stories, right? Like Gillian Jacobs could voice every single part of the Britta story, and so on and so forth down the line. That is so fun to me. I think, like, just as, and I think, like, a really good example of the writing for each character in this episode being, like, extremely clear. Like, you can tell, even though everybody is, like, playing a role, you can tell that this story belongs to Britta through and through, all the way down the line. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think this is probably my favorite example of that out of the seven stories, like the voice coming through. I think Britta is probably my favorite example of that, because it's just so obvious that she is just like spitballing this thing with her whole,
just,
and
like,
whatever,
setting it up, right? you know? She's like trying to just like leverage them all into telling stories that will reveal them.
She doesn't actually want to have to tell a story.
No.
And so Jeff gets out of the car and he's just like, okay, but when I get back, we're having sex. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, looks for the monster. He immediately gets stabbed with the hook hand thing. And we're back in the study room and Britt is like, Abed, how did you feel about the story? And he says, embarrassed. I didn't care about the characters. They were stupid. They deliberately put themselves in danger. And when they were warned about it, the guy got out of the car. Mm-hmm. And so Britt is looking at Jeff like, huh? Look at that. He said he was embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, like, it's never, he says he's embarrassed. She's like, well, that's a strange reaction. Everyone else in the group's like, no, that seems fair. Yeah. Everyone else is like, yeah, no, you should feel embarrassed.
No, that's the reaction of apparently a sane person. Mm-hmm. Maybe perhaps even the one sane person in the group.
Yeah, and so then Abed has a story. He says, it's a dark, cold night in the woods. We establish a traditional log cabin, and then cut to, and then we see Abed and Britta are in the log cabin. A log cabin I rented so we could be intimate and safety, because it's not the 50s, so we don't have to park a car in NECA Inspiration Point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he says, and I have a radio for safety. And so he plays it. And this, Josh, this is actually, maybe I should change my score on this episode, because this episode starts a lot of running gags in the show.
So I am aware of a song called Daybreak. Factoring heavily in Community from this point forward. And this is a side effect of, Todd, is it because of Roxanne? Is it because they blew their budget on Roxanne?
Yeah. Yep, they blew their budget on Roxanne. And so they got this super generic, cheapo,
like elevator music.
Elevator music song. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like perfect. It's the best.
I didn't know to listen out for this, so I have no impression of Daybreak yet. I am now going to, after the podcast and before the next one, I will listen to Daybreak. I will commit the sounds of the song Daybreak to memory, and I shall attune my ear for every Daybreak sighting as best as I can.
There'll be plenty. You'll hear it a lot. Yeah.
Yes. Ample opportunity as we move forward.
And so we flash back to Abed, like, actually singing it. And Troy's just like jamming out. And they're like, why are you singing? Get to the point. And he's like, well, we wouldn't turn the radio on at the exact right moment.
Yeah. And this is also already after Abed and Britta have kissed, which is like, this is like uncanny valley territory.
Yeah.
Right. Really, like, weird. It doesn't feel right, and I think, like, sort of like the surreality of that speaks to the way that, like, for Abed it would just be process, and it's just like, I'm just telling you the story of how this goes. Person kisses a person. It's not an event. It's not a big deal. It's not like a big epic, well, this is the first time we've seen Abed and Britta kiss on the show, this should be something. It just happens really quickly and matter-of-factly, and that's just part of the process of Abed's story of, like, trying to make this sort of, like, real to actual horror. I think that that's really hilarious. I think the way that they handled that was really funny.
Yeah, and I love the whole way that the flirtation, quote-unquote, goes. He's like, I'm turned on by how logical you are. I'm comforted by your shiny hair and face symmetry. I hope you're as fertile as I am tonight.
It's absolutely ridiculous and spot on, Abed, especially when they hear a noise. And Britta's like, should we check it out? And Abed says, no, we should call 911 on my fully charged cell phone, lock the doors, and stand back to back in the middle of the room holding knives. Like, perfectly Abed, especially when Britta says, like, I love you. And he's like, shh.
Yes. Unimportant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, then Annie's like, is anybody ever going to die? And Abed's like, once it's been earned.
But he says it all spooky like, you know, what's this been?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so good. Abed's story is pretty funny, but then we get to Annie's, which is so very Annie.
Annie's is ridiculous. Annie's is fairly exceptional of how she is being carried by Jeff, because of course.
Of course it's
going to start this way. But then, of course, because Annie has been burned by Jeffrey enough times, he's going to turn into a vampire and inevitably suck her blood to prey upon her youth, I should say.
Yep.
It's a fairly pointed thing as well. And poor Britta has been placed in the pantry where she has been feasted upon by Jeff as a vampire, which I feel like is another like very valid way of looking at Jeff and Britta's relationship through two seasons and counting now of Community, where like so much of the story was about the two of them before, but they've like sucked all of the life out of that storyline and they've just sort of stuck it in a closet that they occasionally drain if they need to. Like, I feel like the meta narrative underneath all of that is very clear and strong.
Yeah, this episode has so many layers of like, this is what Annie thinks of Jeff and Britta and their relationship.
I think it's also what the show kind of does to the relationship, though, too.
Yeah, and it's just very funny. And of course, we have the storyline of like, Jeff needs to learn to read. And so then we have Annie teaching him and she says the line, "You should be proud of how much I've changed you." Mm-hmm. Like, this is so supremely Annie. And just like, the fact that, of course, Jeff still wants to feed on her, but Annie,
your porcelain neck in the light of the full moon is too appetizing.
But Annie, and this is where I just connect with Annie on such a like deep spiritual level.
Because you are also a secret werewolf.
Because I am a monster like she is. She's just like, her face changes into a werewolf and she rips into his torso like a gerbil and skanky concubine. She floss her teeth with his tendons. Mm-hmm. And she says, and because he's a vampire, he lives through everything. He had to watch her swallow his last eyeball and she kept it attached to the optic nerve so he could see down her throat to his own partially digested flesh. Like, she is messed
there was
up.
A twist. There was a twist.
See? She said so chipper too. See? Mm-hmm. There was a twist.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, after going through this amazingly descriptive, like the most horror moment of the entire episode really is like Annie's description, like, because it cuts from the scene to actually just her describing this. But that was something you would actually see in a big gore heavy horror movie. And it's just like something I wasn't expecting from Annie. And it's just like so perfectly done.
That tends to be her, right? Like, she brought the gun to Remedial Chaos Theory. Like, you know, Annie brings a gun to a gunfight often, but people don't know that they're stepping into a gunfight. I think that's the thing that's great about her.
Yeah, she looks very innocent, but she is so intense in every like facet of her life that people just kind of forget. And that's what I just love Annie so much because of things like this, because she can say these things and everyone just like sits there shell-shocked because they could not believe that just came out of Annie's mouth.
Yeah. So everyone's like, okay, so she's probably, or at least Jeff and Britta are like, okay, she might be the psychopath.
Yeah. But now it's Troy's turn.
Todd, Troy's story is like so specifically Troy, right? It's just like, it's just me and Abed doing adventure stuff and we're going to take a horrible situation and turn it into a win.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, he's just so jealous of Annie getting all the praise here. It's like, can we stop kissing her butt? Yeah, it's not that great. No, here's a really great story. And then it's like straight out of like a 70s horror film, like The Thing with Two Heads, like some really B-grade, a mad science thing.
Have you ever seen Freaked before, Todd?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I got big Freaked energy from this. The conjoined by the process of mad science. So Pierce is sort of in like the Randy Quaid spot here as he has freaked Troy and Abed together. No, forced to be together forever.
Yeah, except now they have telepathy and they could speak to one another, and they use that to knock Pierce out with a pan, cut a sandwich in half, and eat some. And I I think one of my favorite parts of Troy's story is when Pierce says, no, I'm legit jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, that's how they clock Pierce. Yeah. Is that like, Pierce is like, he's like a tiny little baby man. And he's constantly jealous of these people, especially when Troy has like successful social relationships with anybody else. Cause Troy used to be under Pierce's thumb. He doesn't like that. It bothers him that nobody likes him the way that Troy and Abed like each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's really funny. It is very Troy. Of course, they end up sewing sewing Pierce's butt to his chest.
Yeah.
And he's just like
haha. Well, yeah, I actually don't mind because now I've got boobs I can touch all the time. They're like, well, how are you gonna touch them?
Yeah. With what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they have feet where his hands are and hands where his feet are.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I do love when we come back to the study group, Troy is just like pretending to like fondle himself with his hands being feet.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, no.
Yes. And in Pierce's present condition, I would recommend to him, not that I'm a doctor or anything, that he put one glove on and one glove off.
That should help.
That's what I would suggest for him moving forward.
And so, of course, Abed looks really impressed with the story. Pierce is upset, so he wants to go next, which obviously his is the worst.
Yeah, but it is so Pierce. And, you know, I feel like you got at this point we're, you know, 2+ seasons into Community and we know what Pierce is all about. And Pierce has never not been this guy. He's always been a disgusting, horrible, misogynistic, racist, homophobic piece of crap. And here he is being like his glorified version of all of that. So once again, extremely true to character. Like the whole thing in Pierce's storyline of like all of the ladies at the study table will worship me when I have power and Troy and Abed shall be put in their places and I shall just consider them from my position of power. And he just like he's doing all of the stuff that he would do if he were able to get away with absolutely everything. And he has made no allusions to the fact over the course of 2+ seasons of this show that this is exactly what the fantastic version of Pierce Hawthorne would look like.
There are two things in this sequence that I love. The first is Abed's the laugh. It just kills me every time. But the other is never Pierce is punching Troy over and over again. And Troy's just, you are still relevant.
Yeah.
like Josh, like that is like, that is a Pierce's dream is that he's still relevant. So I love that moment.
And yet another Pierce Hawthorne body part gets highlighted in the Pierce sequence. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Like his penis punches Troy. Like his penis punches a person.
Is that not the most Pierce version of this, though?
Well, yeah. Well, it's not even that's the most like Pierce thing. It's that when he takes it out, they're like, whoa.
Yes. Right.
Like that it is
like a thing to be like to be shocked and awed by, and it can knock you out.
Yeah. And then of course the I'm ready for my birthday spanking. Can you count to 30 as if he's 30? As if he's 30.
They say it's not a ghost story, Todd, but it's definitely a nightmare.
Yes, it is horrifying just in a very different way from how horrifying the other stories
this
are.
Is like less this is like what is the like the James Wan horror movies with the two paranormal investigators with Patrick
The Conjuring.
This is less The Conjuring and more Hostel, right? Like
this is very
Eli Roth, I feel like. This is like some extreme body horror happening here. This is like almost like The Purge. There's something really unspeakably horrible, but it is unfortunately a horror subgenre that is being played upon here.
Yeah, and I love Troy's line at the end of Pierce's story where he's like, it was like an episode of some show we're all too young to have heard of.
Yes, 100%.
So true.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, we're going to throw it to one more commercial break. When we come back, we will hear Shirley's spooky story. Stay tuned. And once again, we are back. But if you're a patron poster recaps, you didn't go anywhere. Now it's my turn to throw you to a commercial break. Swoosh. All right. I don't know I don't know what to do though. I was unprepared and I swooshed myself in.
What do you want to, what do you want your ad to be about?
Beetlejuice. It's the third time I've said it. Ah, the ghost of the most. Ah, there's worms and bugs. Give me that bug everywhere. Blah. All right. Swoosh. We're back.
Wow. Yeah. On to Shirley Stream. Mm-hmm. So we see Shirley, Jeff, Troy, and Abed, all the young ones, of course, are partying in this log cabin. And Britta, she has this huge tub of quote unquote weed that she dumps on her chest and drugs.
Yeah, now that's my kind of pot bong.
Yeah, Jeff's like, my drugs are wearing off.
Yeah, this is so Shirley. Everybody's story is so clearly them. Like they completely aced every single character this week. Like sometimes I feel like the show like gets a little further away from who these people actually are. Every single story in this episode is like, this is absolutely Shirley's version of events. This is like Shirley's like moralizing, like, oh, well, I got raptured and the rest of you are going to hell where you're going to have to be tortured by Pilates. Yeah,
it's
and
ridiculous.
She forgives them. That's the best part of it. That, you know,
but I can't save you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the good Christians got raptured. The good news is you're the coolest people in the world.
Yeah.
And then of course we have the Dean, the Devil Dean.
I have seen this gif many times. Yeah. I feel like.
It's
Dean
a common
walking
one.
In. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's so at 10 you're gonna be buried neck deep in scorpions. 11:15 lava enemas. Followed by Pilates.
Ooh, I like Pilates. Yeah, that's not so bad. Actually, it's the demon that eats your genitals.
And of course, then Shirley is an angel. She saves them all, but she refuses to take them to heaven. She says she came to say goodbye on her way to Abraham's bosom.
Is that what we call the butt that was on Pierce's chest? Abraham's bosom?
Oh, no. Uh-huh. I forgive you. Yeah. And then, of course, Dean is back and he has a chainsaw and he's just screaming gay marriage with the chainsaw like Pride Month.
Yeah, there you go. Happy June. There it is. It's the unsavory sides of Shirley. They are there. They are fully there throughout so much of this show. So once again, it is nothing if not fully community accurate at this point.
Yeah. And Todd, I really appreciate, I think one of the best parts about this episode is like they know when to cut back to the study group at the right point. So we still get Shirley saying, and then he chainsawed them to bits.
Is by far my favorite thing about Shirley's story. Yeah. And he chainsawed them to bits. Then they put them back together and he chainsawed them again. It's just like the line reading both the chainsaws. It's just amazing, amazing work from Bette Nicole Brown.
Yeah, they know when to throw it back to these actors to like give them that moment. That is, it's just because I think without that, I think Shirley's story isn't as strong for me. So I love that end bit.
For sure.
But yeah, of course, then Troy's like, that wasn't a horror story. That was a sermon. Yeah. He's like, you ruined a Brita party. That's like letting poop spoil. Awful. So mean. So brutal.
This is when Brita reveals why she has had everybody talking about scary stories. Because one of you could be a murderer.
Yeah. One of them is a homicidal maniac. Yeah. And she's like, if we leave now, one of us might kill the others. And so then she goes into like this montage of different potential kills. And they all kind of take a step away from her. And they're like, you have those really scary images in your head. And you're the one, you took the test too. What if it's you?
Yeah, this is the other thing that I feel like is very Britta, Todd, is that often she's like acts like she's too cool and doesn't care, but she then like really actually cares a lot and is in her own ways like a complete freak. And so I love like the way that this sort of like completes the first story that she tells, where in her first story she's like not even trying because she has a secret agenda, but now that her agenda can no longer be kept secret, she's just going to be like very forward with it and be effusive with how much of a lunatic she herself is.
Yeah, all kind of boomerangs back on her. I do want to point out that during the sequence, as it shows like this hooded killer like killing off each of the members of the study group in different ways, and whenever it sneaks up on Britta, she is reading War and Peace.
Yes, War
not
and Peace.
War and Peace, but
who
War and
is
Peace.
Warren period. Warren
and, and the fact that Britta is the one narrating this makes you think that she thinks the name of the book is War and Peace. So 100%. another wonderful like Britta character moment right there. Yeah. As the Britta-ing of Britta continues on the show.
And also would insist that like it's her favorite book and she's read it 7 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Incredible.
And this part kills me too, because everybody all of a sudden like grabs weapons because the lights go out. And I love the choice of weapons by everyone. Shirley immediately breaks a bottle and mm-hmm. is holding it out in front of her. Annie has scissors. Pierce has a fire extinguisher.
Troy has turned into Wolverine.
Yeah, the Wolverine defenses. Moment from Troy is like so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abed has a chair. Britta has an actual knife. And Jeff doesn't have anything.
Yeah. He's got nothing.
I feel like the best one, I don't know, Pierce's fire extinguisher could work if the goal is to run away.
Yeah. I think if Troy had proper grip on the pencils, that would be, he's got many chances to stab you. But I do mm-hmm. think that gripping the pencils in that fashion is going to be pretty hard to maintain.
Yeah,
there'll be a lot of give with the stabbing unless you got them like clamped down. I think Shirley, I've heard of the bottle. I think the bottle's probably. I feel like Shirley did that really, like, really smoothly. I think like her days back in the bar that we saw.
She's
like,
good to go.
Of,
yes.
I think Shirley has some experience with this.
Totally.
That was not an unpracticed maneuver from Shirley. Yeah. The bottle right there.
I love how Jeff just he wants to winger speech this thing and close it very quickly. It's like, let me just tell you my version of the story. We're all at the cabin. There's the killer. It's Chang. He's lonely. He's afraid. He just wants love. And that's what this is all about. And that's all you get from Chang in this episode. And this is to the Ben Taub rules of, just incredible writing efficiency. A splendid, perfect use of Chang. That Chang has been gone for the whole episode, which while I was watching, I was like, are they like going to do a Halloween episode and like 7 spooky stories without even featuring Chang at all? And then, of course, he's the killer. And like before you can give him a bagel, he's just showed up to like the exact amount of Chang that you ever want to get from Chang. I thought it was great.
It's fine. I guess this part just doesn't hit for me as much. Like, he's like, can someone just give me a hug? And they all hug him. But the thing is like, it's not effective, right? Like, this speech that Jeff gives doesn't work on them.
Because Jeff's powers have been wearing off, it seems like. Everybody else is, in like D&D terms, Todd, like, everybody here is like a level 9 and he's just like a level 1. He doesn't know, he hasn't been playing enough.
Yeah, I think they've all been leveling up and he's been too busy, texting people to level up. He's been too busy on his phone trying to pretend to be some Fast and Furious guy.
Yeah, and then of course, Jeff filled out the test randomly and didn't say anything.
Yeah, this is the second episode in a row now, right, where Jeff has just tried to sort of like cheat the system. So... he's learning nothing. Look how much he has changed indeed, Annie, as in not very much.
Monsters don't change.
No.
He says, I'm no sociopath. I always know what I'm doing is wrong. I'm just a guy that doesn't like taking tests, doing work, or getting yelled at. So if you think about it, it makes me the sanest person here.
Boo.
Jeff, I hate you. Like, he's the exact opposite of me as a human being, and I hate him. Taking hands.
It's so great.
It's so annoying. Like, a friend asks you to do a favor and take a psych evaluation, and you fill it out randomly? You're the worst.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So Britta puts, Britta's then, right, Annie discovers, Britta ran the Scantrons through upside down. She Britted it.
She Britted the Scantrons. Yeah. Is that a thing? Like, you can scan them upside down and it's going to have this bad of an impact?
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like probably not, but I've never have actually had to run a Scantron through anything, so...
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so Britta's upset. She's like, you guys are going to stop using my name to make a tiny and understandable mistake. Yeah. And so then we find out that everyone except one person is actually a psychopath.
Right.
And so they're like, maybe we should see who it was. But Shirley says, we should just hold on to the comforting notion that one of us might be safe.
Yeah. Okay. And Britta's on board with that. She's like, okay, so an important lesson then. We should never make the Britta of Britta-ing each other's feelings.
She Britted Britta.
Oh, poor Britta.
And it has like a very happy, like happy Halloween ending from the creators of Community, where all of the different Scantrons are revealed, and the sane one is Abed, which is so clearly Dan Harmon's outlook on the show. So
yeah,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah, a really fun ending. Then we have the end credits, where we're back in the Troy dream, where Pierce has been 3 days. He wants to be let go, and Troy and Abed talk with telepathy. Troy brings over them some brandy. Because I was thinking the same thing. I know. Jinx. Double jinx. Triple jinx. Troy and Abed
sewn together. Yeah. How is this behind, Jess? You gave this a Streets Behind.
I did. This is one of my least favorite.
Is it because
of
the butt
sequences
that was sewn on to Pierce? So that's Streets Behind, technically.
I just don't find it that funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think there's so many that are better than this one. So I just am not as impressed.
I'll agree, they're a lot better than this. I wish there was a little bit more to it, but I do like the things like whenever Troy goes to think and Abed reaches over and scratches his chin for him. Those little moments like that, or Abed drinks and Troy acts like he's tasting it. Yeah, those little moments like there are what bump it up a 2.5.
Jinx, just like double jinx, triple jinx. You know, they're just great. You know, it's pass or fail. You know, it's we're not giving it like an A, a B. It's one or the other. And if it's going to have to be either we keep it or we lose it, I'd keep it. It's not going to, you know, be like we haven't graded them. It would not be my number one on the board.
I mean, to be fair, you both give it a head, so it's still going to get a head overall.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do some F Community feedback. This is coming from, I can't say it again, I don't think, because I do think I'll directly
Todd's
summon
the
him.
Only one who can.
And Jess is at 2. So, Todd, you have to say the name of the person who sent in this bit of feedback.
All right. So, this feedback is from the Wisecrack Beetlejuice.
Okay. And he writes in and says, fun episode, with the highlight being the group reading lines written by other characters. I feel like they kind of Britted the ending, though. I wish they didn't show us Abed had the normal test result. Just seems a bit on the nose, trying to subvert our expectations. It would have been more interesting to leave it as a mystery, or have had it be Jeff who filled it out randomly again. I think Jeff filling it out randomly again would be funny. I do, again, think that it's probably Dan Harmon being like, I'm the sane one and you're all nuts.
Yeah, I like the ending. I think it works.
This is from Eric D. Eric writes in, I think the three Halloween episodes of the first three seasons are emblematic of what the first three seasons of Community are like. The first one isn't too weird. It could almost happen in another sitcom, but it's really funny and solid. The second one is effortlessly amazing, weird, unique, and iconic. The third one is still very good, but it feels like they're trying really hard to make it as weird and as good as season two. I didn't feel it like that. I felt like it was it wasn't like that this episode was like massively weird. I thought it was just a great send-up of the characters, personally. I didn't feel like it was trying too hard to be like zombies again. I kind of feel like they were going for something totally different, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Todd, how do you feel like this episode works as a Halloween episode, right? Like, do you think it was effective in its use of the different tropes in Halloween movies, as someone who knows that stuff, obviously, a lot more than I do?
I think some were and some weren't. I feel like the Annie story, I felt, did a really good job of kind of capturing that sort of stuff. The Pierce one, not that much. I don't know. I think they all, to differing degrees, managed to capture that thing. But there also were, so like Abed is trying to do like a meta commentary on the horror stuff. Like, there's no real horror in it, but he is like commenting on the horror aspects. Shirley's is straight up I mean, there is a big thing in like at Halloween time, many Christian denominations for love their own form of haunted house, which is basically trying to scare people into salvation by running them through scenarios where they go to hell. So it feels very true to that sort of a demographic. So I don't think that any of the stories actually were necessarily great as horror stories, but I think they all, like, you know, were emblematic of a certain type of trope and captured that relatively well. Pierce is being like the least successful for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I liked Pierce's the least, but I feel like that's pretty much a given for anything Pierce does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Riley's take as well. Riley says this episode's just fine for me. It's definitely the weakest of the first three seasons Halloween episodes, and I think a big part of that comes down to its structure. In doing the multiple spooky stories, the quality of the episode wildly varies depending on the story. Some are hysterical. Others are just not even the slightest bit funny. So I'm obviously a lot higher on this than most people are, I guess. Okay, that's fine.
I don't think you're completely alone, Josh. I know there are some people in the Discord who I think missed like the feedback cutoff who were definitely talking about being higher on the episode than some of these were.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are more like, it's an average episode of Community, right? Like, and that's what I would agree with. Like, I don't think it's bad by any means. I even bumped my score up a little bit simply because this is the start of a lot of the amazing things of Community, right? We get the Britta, we get the Daybreak. Like, this is the start of a lot of really fun things in Community that I didn't necessarily realize that they were, the first time they were included was in this episode. And yeah, I think for me, it is more of Riley. I'm more on like Riley's side of things where it's like some of the dreams don't necessarily work for me, where it's like ones like Annie's, where it very much feels like either Twilight or what was that other one with Suki? Like the
True Blood.
It feels very true to those types of stories, which feels like something Annie would be into, right? So in certain respects, yes, of course, it feels true to the characters. It's just more about like how many laughs did it get out of me is usually a big judgment call for me.
I look forward to our True Blood rewatch, True Blood Draining, because it's going to get exhausting going through it.
I stopped when they had fairies. That's when
I think end of season one. No,
isn't no, it? They didn't have fairies till a long time in.
I don't know. I know that they allude to it.
They allude to it at some point early on because it's a big part of the books. I know at some point. Yeah. It's the reason why all the supernatural creatures are attracted to Suki is because she has fairy blood. That's why
Suki as your maker. Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure. all right, meow meow beans time. Call me Jeff Winger because I'm just filling in the Scantron with fives down the line. Whether you want to say this is me being lazy, that's an argument that one could make. Or the argument I would make is that, sure, I'm a little bit lazy and I could give you some deeper nuance to each and every one of these characters if I really wanted to. But I think everybody's like a very pure version of themselves. Like, I think the writing on every single character in this episode, warts and all, is the character. Like, this is the closest I have felt like each character has connected to themselves in a while for me in the real time of recording this podcast, because a full freaking month has passed since the last time we convened for Community. But I think it is one of the instances for me where they have felt like the closest to who they all have been throughout the show. Like, no one feels wildly off. Everybody, in fact, feels wildly on with who they are. So I give it four cools. I love this. I think that this is an episode I would be thrilled to revisit many, many times. I think this is my favorite Halloween episode of Community so far, which is probably a psychotic
more than
thing.
ABBA. I think, did you forget that they had so many ABBA songs in the other one? Because that one is like, come on, it has ABBA.
I laughed so hard and was so happy to be back in Greendale with this one. I haven't connected with the other two Halloween episodes the same way I connected with this one, I don't think.
Maybe we should have taken a month off before we watched each of those.
Perhaps. Maybe. I don't know. I'm high on this episode. I guess this is the pot bong that I like is this episode of Community.
Can't stop picturing Britta dumping the weed on her chest.
Yeah.
As if that is any, like, I can't. This is like Shirley's perceptions of how drugs are done is so funny.
I'm not doing this to Jack Black, you Jess. I'm giving him all fives. I'm giving the episode a four because I authentically loved it that fine. Much.
Yeah.
And if my vote has a little extra sway as one of the data points here, I would like to use my influence to stump for this episode. I think it's a really fun one. I loved it. That was great. Anyway, Todd, what did you do with some more nuance than what I did for sure?
All right. So I guess I'll go from the bottom up. So I gave both Pierce and Chang ones. Chang because he was just barely in the episode, and what he was in the episode wasn't really Chang. He was just kind of like a non-entity almost. And Pierce is Pierce and just for the most part, didn't really work for me. The one line that I did like was after Slay Story, whenever a Pierce was like, "Where's Jeff? And what was my name? Django," which is the name that Shirley gave Jeff's character in that. That was a bit. That might be enough to get me to bump Pierce up slightly, but nah, leave him at a one. Then a bit of a jump. Jeff and Shirley, I both gave threes. I think both them were fine in this, like serviceable. Shirley gets a little bit of I probably would have ranked Shirley a little bit lower, maybe, but the chainsaw line read was great. Then I gave both the Dean and Troy 4 points. Dean isn't in it much, but when he's in, he makes the most of it. And the Troy's bits are pretty funny. Abed, I give a 4.5 because I really liked the idea of his story, but his horror story was not scary. And I had to give the full five to Britta and Annie for just having like the most horror of the horror stories in the whole thing. Annie for intentionally, and then Britta with her mistakenly implicating herself as the psychopath whenever she was telling all the things. And whenever everyone turned on Britta, like, who has this sort of stuff in their head all the time? I'm like,
slowly backs out of the room.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Maybe identified with the having the horror stuff in your head all the time a little much. But yeah, so Britta and Annie both get fives from me this episode.
What did you do, Jess?
Yeah, I was very. Me and Todd were on a similar wavelength. I gave Pierce a one. I rarely ever like Pierce this episode, especially again. The only reason he didn't have a bagel was because he has a couple of like tiny funny moments. I gave Chang a two. I mean, he's pretty average. He's barely in the episode, and when he is, I kind of agree with Todd. Like, he has this one line where he's supposed to be sympathetic. I don't know. It's fine. He's a two. Shirley gets a three. I really like sometimes the overbearing religious stuff hits me in a certain way, and I'm just like, gosh, Shirley, like, why? But again, I couldn't move her too low down because of the chainsaw line. It absolutely kills me every time. Jeff is a 3.5. He's kind of a jerk. Like, just fill out the test like your friend asked you to do. It's not that hard, Jeff. Like, you always are trying to do the least amount of work possible. I gave Dean and Troy both fours. I feel like the Dean with his outfits just always, and in fact, he did like multiple this episode. It's just the best. Troy, I especially love when he dances to Daybreak. Something about that little jig he does just sends me. I gave Abed a 4.5. I really love him calling out all of the like with his commentary on the tropes of horror movies in general. And of course, Britta and Annie have to get fives. Britta, because she Britted it, right? Like, this is a classic Britta moment for the show. And Annie, because she is such a monster that no one ever recognizes that I love it. I love Annie in this episode. She gets a 5 from me. I try to hold back on my Annie stand-up and try not to be too biased, but she's definitely getting a 5 from me this week.
Where does that leave us with our character rankings at this point, Jess?
Britta is pulling ahead. She is a full 4.5 points above second place. So,
Todd, do you think that Britta could win the character rankings for season 3?
I find it doubtful. I'm afraid that the Britting of Britta.
She's going to Britta this?
She's going to Britta this. I think Britta is going to Britta her lead. I don't think that it's sustainable for the rest of the season. I think the direction of the character is not going to be able to keep up with everything that's going on with everyone else. It's been a while since I haven't watched all of season 3 since the proto community building podcast. So I don't necessarily remember how it all goes, but I feel like there's no way that Britta's gonna be able to keep this high. I think we're in the sweet spot of Britta right now. And
I'm rooting for it. I would love for this.
I think it'd be fun, especially because we've had two different winners across two different seasons. So I'd love to continue that trend. I think it's really fun.
All right. Well, Dean's list time. You both gave it to Daybreak. I gave it to the radio because I didn't know who to give it to. I guess just sign me up for Daybreak if we're breaking for day. I mean, there isn't another character. It's all series regulars in this episode. Another reason why I really love this. I think it is like a very like it's like let's work with what we've got kind of episode. And what we've got are a ton of really talented actors and comedians and a really talented writing staff and the ability to play in a bunch of different worlds. So let's do that. So I feel like this episode of Community just really plays to its own strength. So I guess Daybreak being in here is representative of that because there is no one else who really qualifies for a Dean's List point. Cool. That's the score I give this episode. I gave it 4. Jess, what did you do?
I originally had it at a 3, but I did bump it up to a 3.3. I think it's earned its marks here, especially with the inclusion of Daybreak and Britta-ing things. I think that's like, it's a solidly average episode of Community. It probably gets a little bit of a slight bump. I love a holiday episode, any holiday. I don't care. Any holiday of anything, put it on a TV show and I'm like more excited to watch it. So 3.3 from me.
Todd, you're a scooch higher.
Yeah. And I also bumped my score up as we were talking through the episode. I think I came into this one and I think I was maybe a little bit harder on it than I normally would have been on an episode because it is the horror episode and not all the stories really landed with me for whatever reason. But as we talked through it and think about all the points that did make me laugh out loud, I did bump. I think this episode, there's tons and tons of funny parts. I just don't think it all holds together as well for me as a whole. I feel like there are lots of great parts in it, but as a whole episode, it doesn't all land for me. But still, it's Community. I was one of the people who actually watched all 6 seasons live, including like subscribing to Yahoo so I could watch the episodes when they dropped. So you're not going to find me like bad-mouthing a lot of Community. Well, season 4 is a different beast.
Todd, but you're a very dedicated TV viewer. As a testament to that is you crushing the 400-hour Stranger Things 4 on release day.
Yeah, and that was after I'd already had watched both episodes of Obi-Wan and a couple episodes of Grey's Anatomy. I watched several other things.
Did you go see Top Gun Maverick this weekend as well?
I was going to go see it, and then I went to start my car. My car wouldn't start. So today, after I got my car fixed, I went.
You Britted your car.
Yeah, I Britted my car. But no, I went and saw.
I thought you had the pop culture hat trick this past week.
But today, actually, before recording this, I did go and watch Top Gun Maverick. So okay. I now have gotten it all.
Also, didn't Troy and Abed, weren't they in Top Gun mode in this episode?
Yes, I know. they were Top Gun pilots.
Maverick's still on my to watch list. Shall happen for me soon, I hope. All right, well, with everybody's score, audience was a 3.36, so closer to the two of you, obviously, than to me, but I boosted it up a little bit. We end up with a 3.51. This is the second best episode of season 3 thus far, according to the current episode standings. You disagree with this, Jess?
I would put it below Competitive Ecology, personally. But I don't think it's like that far off. I mean, it's not leaps and bounds ahead of Competitive Ecology. So it's, it doesn't bother me that much.
Okay. It's certainly not going to hold, I would imagine.
Definitely not. No.
Yeah. Nope. That's fine. Well, I greatly enjoyed this one. I loved this episode of the podcast. It was thrilling to speak about a thrilling episode of Community. Todd, what a pleasure to get to catch up here on the Community Building Podcast. Why don't you tell everybody what you got going on and where people can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Librarian Todd, because Todd Librarian was too many characters. You can also find me every Saturday on a One Indescribable Podcast, where Adam H., TV Lindy, and I go through the late, great CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We're over halfway through the series right now. We've covered the first 2 seasons. We're almost halfway through season 3 right now. Just going through, talking about a show that we all love. Jess has been on. Jess is our go-to for season finale episodes, so Jess will be our season finale guest for season 3 as well. Other than that, you can also find me about twice a month on twitch.tv/DMPhilly doing a Wheel of Time based D&D game called Threads in the Pattern, where I play a young male channeler who is slowly losing his mind. So if you want to watch me slowly lose my mind on playing D&D on a stream, that's something you can find on his Twitch, on Philly's Twitch stream, or on his YouTube channel.
Awesome. Incredible. Jess, where can people find you and what kind of shit have the 90s taught you lately?
Yes, so much going on. We are now in season 4 of Dawson's Creek, as well as season 6 of Boy Meets World. We're in college, baby. We just covered the episode with the first Feeny call. Can you believe it took 6 seasons to get the Fee-hee-hee-hee-ne?
Is that right? No way.
I'm not lying.
Wow.
He's yelled like Feeny, like he's yelled Feeny, but he's not done the Fee-hee-hee-hee-ne,
wow,
which is the official Feeny call.
Wow.
So we have all that going on over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And of course, here on Post Show Recaps, I'm busy as usual. Sarah and I just wrapped up coverage of The Flight Attendant Season 2. That was tons of fun. Highly recommend that show. If you watched Season 1 and you were kind of like meh on it, I would give Season 2 a try. I personally liked it better than Season 1. I don't know if that's a hot take.
Interesting.
But that is my feeling on it.
It sounds like that is Jess saying that The Flight Attendant Season 2 is better than The Flight Attendant Season 1 is like me saying that the Season 3 Halloween episode of Community is better than the Seasons 1 and 2 episodes of Halloween episodes of Community.
Possibly, yeah.
Not necessarily wrong, just a hot take.
It is a spicy take. Yeah. And then, of course, Sarah and I are also currently covering The Time Traveler's Wife, which is another HBO show.
I don't want to get too far into this, but just something very strange happens on the show, apparently.
Episode 2, there is a thing that happens. It does also happen in the book, but I hadn't read the book in a very long time, so I did not remember this happening. There's a thing that happens on a television show.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, but like, I don't even know. I walked into that podcast, like, how am I supposed to talk about this on a podcast? Like, something you would never want your parents hear you talking about, I think. So anyway, that's a little bit, if you want to go listen.
Now I need to watch the show, I guess.
You should.
I feel very similarly. Yeah. But mostly because I need to know if we just put something on our podcast network that's going to get us canceled.
No, I don't think so. We handled it with care, as we usually do.
Of course.
But yes, of course. So you can hear me on all of those things and probably more that I'm forgetting about. Oh, I'm also going to be talking about Downton Abbey 2, the movie that just came out. Over on Post Show Recaps Theater this week. Super jazzed to talk about that. I made my first solo trip to the movie theater. I've never gone to the movies alone.
How was that? What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun experience. Yeah. Yep. I was definitely the youngest person in the theater by probably 20 years. It was lovely. I snuck in my snacks as usual. Mm-hmm. It was great. I really loved the movie. So I can't wait to talk about it. So yeah, you can hear me on all of those things. And if I'm on anything else, just follow me on Twitter at @TheJessSterling. I retweet all of those things.
Yes. And I'm at Round Howard. I will retweet all of the Post Show Recaps things that are fit to print. So many podcasts that are happening right now. Jess mentions The Time Traveler's Wife. I mentioned earlier Stranger Things. We're still talking about Stranger Things each and every week. We are recapping the episodes of Season 4, having already watched all of Season 4. So these podcasts are designed for people who have binged the season already. And let's just hang out in Hawkins and the various places involved in Stranger Things. It's Mike Bloom and myself. He and I are also down the hatch, still talking Lost in a very off-tilt podcast. It has gotten increasingly demented, and we are having such an incredible time there. Mike is very busy. He's got Obi-Wan Kenobi coverage. He's talking about The Boys as well. He's joining myself and Joe Garfine soon to talk about Westworld, which is returning to HBO for Season 4 at the end of June. We are so psyched about that. And we are actually about to commence a rewatch podcast about Westworld. We're going to go through seasons 1, 2, and 3 over the course of the next several weeks to get everybody on the same page for Season 4. And by everybody, I also mean the hosts, because not just the robot hosts, but the podcast hosts, myself, Mike, and Joe, we all need our brain balls to be refreshed as to what had happened in Westworld previously. So some real utility to doing those podcasts if you're a Westworld fan. It comes back June 26th, and we're already in the process of getting you set up for all of that. So follow me at Round Howard, at Post Show Recaps on Twitter as well. You'll never miss anything. Subscribe to the podcast, whether it's community building or just the main Post Show Recaps feed, so you never miss an episode. And if you want to never miss an episode in a commercial-free capacity, sign up at the $15 level at patreon.com/postshowrecaps right now to get PSR Plus ad-free Post Show Recaps podcast feed. You're also going to get that community building sweatshirt, but it's this month only. Last opportunity to get yourself one of the community building sweatshirt. Speaking of community building, Grace Leader on the podcast next week, Jess.
Yes, Grace is coming on for Season 3, Episode 6, Advanced Gay. That is next week.
Oh, gosh.
What a title.
I imagine a lot of Pierce Hawthorne being terrible.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll see. But you know what? With Grace on the podcast, we're guaranteed to have a fun time.
Yes.
So I can't wait for that. Super,
lick it,
super
boom,
excited.
Boom, down. I'm just getting it out now.
Yes. So I can't wait until next week. We're gonna have another fun week on community building.
Incredible. All right, well, we will be back. We are officially back here with season 3. We appreciate all of you hanging in with us with the month-long hiatus. Tremendously appreciated, very much needed, so that we could get all of our ducks in a row for the remainder of season 3 here as we enter the summer of Greendale in the weeks ahead. We will be back next week with more community building. Until next time, everybody, Corey B, take us away.